Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the written words that we have to study and to learn more about your Son, the Lord Jesus. We just pray as we study it for a brief moment now that you would show us something new of who your Son, the Lord Jesus, is, and that through the power of his Spirit we'd be transformed into his likeness. Amen. The 19th of May 2013 is a day that will live, for me, long in the memory. You're thinking, oh, he's talking about his wedding. No. Not about my wedding, not about any of my children being born. It was a trip to Wembley Stadium. Can we have the next slide up, please? I sent my dad this photo this week, and he assumed this is probably the only church in the country that has a photo of the League One playoff final from 2013 on Easter Sunday. As we went to watch Yeovil Town beat Brentford 2-1. The less said about, and Steffi, you got the Yeovil colours on this morning for me, brilliant. The less said about the trajectory of those two teams since, the better, with Brentford in the Premiership and Yeovil languishing in the Conference South. However, it was a brilliant, brilliant day as we enjoyed celebrating the victory of that tiny town. Population about 45,000. Some of the stadiums they played in the following year were bigger than the size of the town. One local newspaper at the time quipped, "Can the last person to leave Yeovil please turn out the lights?" And as we walked down Wembley Way, singing that famous song that you all know, E-I-E-I-E-I-O, up the Football League we go, it was a wonderful occasion as we celebrated a victory. Probably nobody else was there. Oh, you surprised me. Probably nobody else remembers the game. But for me and Dad, it was a wonderful day. Maybe for you, you've got another memory of victory. We go on about it, don't we? 1966. Maybe you're still of that. You're of that era where that is the. You remember vividly that day. Maybe you're more of a rugby fan, and it was the 2003 World Cup and that Johnny Wilkinson drop goal. I'm sure our South African friends will like to remind us that actually we've won the World Cup three times since you, and since then, and beat you every time. Maybe it was the 2014 the Red Roses when they won the World Cup. Maybe it's the Olympics for you. Steve Redgrave, his fifth Olympic gold medal. What about Kelly Holmes with that double in 2004, or Super Saturday, recently voted this week, in fact, by Five Live, the greatest sporting memory that's been recorded on that radio station, as Mo Farah, Greg Rutherford and Jess Ennis won their gold medals within half an hour of each other. Maybe you're not like me, quite as much of a sports fan. Maybe for you it's to do with your favourite actor or actress winning at the Oscars. Maybe for you it's something more personal. Sports day. Beating your siblings or your parents at a board game for the first time. Church quiz night. One person here was clearly victorious at that point. We all enjoy victory, don't we? We all enjoy winning. But the victory we're celebrating this morning is far greater than the triumph from Yeovil Town in 2013. It's the victory of the Lord Jesus. And I just want to briefly think about three things this morning. As Sam read to us this morning, the angel told Mary, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Next slide, please, Tracy. I've quoted this recently, but it seems apt again for this morning. "In the world, nothing is certain but death and taxes." Now, that clearly wasn't written in Jesus' day, but I think perhaps the same could have been true in Jesus' day. The Gospels certainly talk about taxes, paying the temple tax, or give to Caesar what is Caesar's, for example. Certainty. We can be certain of Jesus' victory. Three things that Jesus achieved victory over. Can we have the next slide, please, Tracy? Firstly, and most obviously, Jesus triumphed over death. He is risen. That's what we're celebrating this morning. Jesus triumphed over death. Now, often when it comes to Jesus' death and resurrection, there's a couple of myths that are very widely shared. We don't have time to go into too much detail this morning, but sometimes people say, oh, Jesus didn't really die, did he? It didn't really happen. Well, at the Youth Weekend Away recently, Emily really helpfully unpacked the reliability of the Bible. And some of the young people who wouldn't say they're believers themselves did say, do you know what? The Bible has to be true. Historically, the Bible has to be true. I started reading this week a book called Can We Trust the Gospels? And it looks at evidence from non-Christian texts and Christian texts as well. And the evidence from the text that were sort of historical texts written at a similar time or sometime later gives similar evidence that Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus came back to life. Jesus definitely, thanks, darling. Jesus definitely died. The Gospels tell us, don't they, that the soldiers didn't break his legs. They didn't need to because he had already died. They thrust a spear into his side. Water and blood came out because when someone dies, water and blood separate. Jesus definitely died. But Jesus definitely also came back to life. Again, if we look at the Gospels, there's numerous times where we see people have met Jesus, where we see Jesus has spoken, Jesus has eaten, he ate some broiled fish. Jesus definitely died, but Jesus definitely came back to life again. And in doing so, he overcame death. You cannot come back to life again unless you are able to overcome death. This is what 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. When the perishable had been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come through true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, death has been swallowed up in victory. Death is no more because of our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we can put our hope in Jesus. When I was studying in Exeter, the pastor of the church there used to say, I wonder if it's the same for you, Craig, there were four services that he used to really enjoy overseeing. Easter Sunday, of course, was one of them. A Christian wedding. What a joyful occasion that is. A baptism, what a joy it is to see new life, to see people committing their lives to Jesus and say, I'm going to follow him. And the fourth is perhaps the most surprising, a Christian funeral. But isn't there something incredibly hope-filled about going to a funeral of a Christian? I wasn't able to attend Dorothy's funeral this week, but from what I hear, it was an occasion full of hope because Dorothy had a certain hope because she'd put her trust in the Lord Jesus. As Christians, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear death because we can be certain, because the Lord Jesus has overcome death, that if we put our trust in him, we will live with him forevermore. Jesus has triumphed over death. Secondly, please, Tracy, Jesus has triumphed over Satan. Satan is real. Satan is real. We can see that from the very beginning of Scripture, Genesis 3, as we think about the fall, we can see that Satan is real. He exists. In 1 Peter, we're told this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The devil is real. But while he's real, we don't need to fear him, because through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he has been defeated and one day will be defeated eternally. Colossians 2 tells us, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of the legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus triumphed on the cross. That phrase there, powers or authorities, can be used in a couple of different ways in Scripture, and actually Paul used it himself in a couple of different ways. If we look to the book of Titus, it's clearly that is spoken about in relation to human authorities, human powers, human authorities. But Ephesians 6, a passage that I'm sure we know well, refers to the rulers and authorities as demonic powers. As Morris was sharing it with us earlier, yes, we're not fighting against humans. We're fighting against these evil powers that sometimes choose to use humans. John Piper says this: the powers that drove Herod and Pilate and the crowd and the soldiers and all the people who were involved in stripping and shaming Jesus, they're demonic powers. Satan was working through them. On Good Friday, Jesus was stripped and shamed. In the same way, as Morris put in his text to me this week, we need to shame the devil. The devil, the great accuser, as he's called in scripture, accuses us of our sinfulness. But our record of debt, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross and by raising back to life, has been wiped out. Slate wiped clean. Nailed to the cross with the Lord Jesus. The legal indebtedness that this passage of Scripture speaks about has been taken away because of the Lord Jesus. In his resurrection, Jesus overcame death. But on the cross and then through his subsequent resurrection, Jesus overcame Satan. And one day Jesus will return and Satan will be vanquished forevermore. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Break the power and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their sin, by their fear of death. By putting our trust in the Lord Jesus, we're saying amen to the fact that Jesus has broken the power of death and Jesus has overcome Satan on the cross. And finally, thanks Tracy, Jesus triumphed over sin. Very often when we talk to people about our faith, the barrier that people have is a lack of awareness of their own sin. I don't need saving. I'm a good person. I give to charity. I go to church at Christmas. Whoever we are, you have sinned. All of us have fallen short of that glorious standard that the Lord Jesus demonstrated in his life on earth. Hundreds of years before Jesus' death, the prophet Isaiah said this: we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. All of our sin was nailed to the cross with the Lord Jesus. We've all turned against God. We've all gone our own way. But the punishment that we so rightly deserve for that has been placed upon the Lord Jesus. He took on the cross all of his sins upon himself. And then, in his resurrection, triumphed over them all. If you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive you for all you have done and actually all you will continue to do. It doesn't matter how hard we try, we're still going to sin. It's sad, but it's true. We will continue sinning. But I tell you one thing, Jesus will forgive you, whoever you are, if you turn to him. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, but Steve, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. I don't know what you've done, but I do know that the Lord Jesus can overcome death, can overcome Satan, can overcome sin, therefore can forgive you from whatever it is that you have done. as I was praying this week and preparing for this message, I got the sense that there's someone here who's struggling with an addiction. It's a recurrent sin, and it's over and over again, and you just can't break it. I think perhaps that you haven't even told those closest to you that this is something you're struggling with. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray with you, because I believe that Jesus can break the power of addiction. Jesus, who overcame death, Jesus, who overcame Satan, can break the power of addiction in your life. The Bible tells us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit as Christians living in us. He can overcome. Can I invite the band back up, please? 1 Peter tells us this: he himself bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. I was reading a blog from the evangelist J. John this week. He was comparing that atheism to Christianity. Atheism, he says, is being born by chance, living without purpose, and dying without hope. Born by chance, live without purpose, die without hope. Christianity and Jesus, death and resurrection, counters all three. As Ben shared this morning, we were created and designed by God. We live with a purpose of glorifying him all of our earthly days. And we can live with the hope that one day we will be with God forever in heaven. Perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, tells us that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son for us. And it goes on to tell us, whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. What a joy it is to celebrate the fact that one day we will have eternal life with Jesus. On the cross and in his triumph, as he was resurrected again on that third day, Jesus triumphed over death in resurrection. Jesus triumphed over Satan in his resurrection. And Jesus triumphed over sin in his resurrection. Let's praise him and celebrate that together now.